Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Monday. Great way to start the week. Boy, the economy is really in the dumpster right now. The S&P and the Dow are down significantly. Jimmy's going to have some comments on that, and I'll have some comments on that later. I want to start out, and I want to say hello to David Lubdell. David, I met you yesterday at Barb Sternovitz's house, Barb and John Sternovitz's house, where they put on the introductory meeting, I guess I would say, for Kamal. Kamal is really a good guy. I endorse him highly. He will certainly get every effort that Big Al can put in. As I mentioned to him yesterday, we would like to get him on our podcast. Getting Kamal on the radio show is kind of a wasted effort for him, in the sense that all of the radio stations that carry our show are located in the South and in the Midwest. You know, flagship stations are obviously Miami and a station outside of New Orleans. So we're going to really stress Kamal on our podcast because of the list that we have, you know, hundreds of people here in the area. We want you to know about Kamal, and we're going to put Kamal on that particular radio. I'm also making arrangements for Kamal to speak to the Men's Breakfast Club. Anyhow, having said that, really enjoyed meeting my fellow conservative friends yesterday over at Barb and John Sturdivant's house. Nice to see Ann Sturdivant. Nice to see her husband. Nice to see everybody there, basically. I particularly enjoyed speaking with Kamal and his wife, Ann. They are very, very interesting people. No question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the economy, first of all. The reason we're talking about that is not to bitch. We're talking about that because the Democrats are making us feel as though we are in the greatest economic recovery of all time. That is totally false. If we were in the greatest recovery of all time right now, the Dow would not be down 800 points, and the S&P would not be down over 3% as of this particular recording. Jimmy, I'm going to let you elaborate on that, if you would, please.
Yeah, so right now, just looking, and this is at, 12:17 Eastern Daylight Time, the Dow's down 637.2%, NASDAQ's down 3.82%, and the S&P 500's down 3%.
Give me the percentage on the Dow again. I think that number was a little bit high. You said 600%. I think you
meant 2%. 637 is down 637
right
at 2%.
Perfect.
And so what we're seeing, the chief strategist from Bank of America, Michael Hartnett, he's come out and said, basically, you know, for Bank of America, I mean, you know, one of the biggest influencers out there.
Right.
He said, hey, look, technically we're in a recession. You've got the inverted yield curve today for the 2 and 10 year bonds. So the spread has inverted again. Last time it did that was in April, an indicator just before the last numbers came out for the decline in GDP for this quarter. We're seeing a lot of indicators that say, hey, look, we are in for very significant economic shocks.
Right.
While the Biden regime and mouthpieces are saying, oh, no, don't worry about it, it's going to be fine. I don't know how they can continue to hide it. But I will say, you're seeing some of their spokespeople, some of their interlocutors that go out and make some of these comments, like Ben Bernanke. Well, it looks like, you know, there's a possibility we'd be in a recession. So they're softening the blow for the data that's going to come out for this, you know, these second quarter numbers.
Right.
And I'm going to predict that it's not you're not getting at the production. You've got a massive increase in inflation. You've got still have credible problems with supply chain. You've got absolutely exorbitant energy prices. They will have an impact. People will begin to stop spending. We're seeing it in the housing market with a drop in over 50% of new home mortgage applications last month. These are significant indicators of people going to, you know, going to slow down in order to protect their interests. And I don't think there's anything they can do to stop it. So I don't know why they're continuing to make these, you know, the Biden regime and these people are making these statements like this is the greatest economy since World War II, all these growth issues, you know, statements. It's like, how disconnected are they from reality?
Yeah. Well, it's politics. It's bullshit politics, for lack of better terms. It is just crazy how we are being lied to by a combination of Congress and the obviously executive office. I would have to say that maybe they have good intentions, and maybe that intention is they just don't want to see a panic. But I would say that they're probably their intention is a little more nefarious than that.
Well, yeah, so I think there are multiple factions that are attempting to run the country since there is no senior leadership making decisions in the White House. I think you've got the green, movement towards electric vehicles, the, you know, carbon mafia, the anti-carbon mafia in there that is pushing one agenda. The Secretary of Energy, John Kerry, the special representative for climate change. You've got that, and they have appealed to a particular, very specific constituency on the left. And then you've got the group that is like social justice, you know, the fight for social justice. Mm-hmm. And there's a different group that's being, you know, kind of that's evolved inside the White House that drives agendas. And then you've got basically a number of incompetent senior leaders that are pushing. And I would say this is the Obama foreign policy team that are pushing an agenda to fulfill what they thought 8 years ago was a good direction. The Iranian nuclear deal, mm-hmm. the human rights issues around the world. And of course, you know, the debacle that they've created in Ukraine and the absolute embarrassing Afghanistan withdrawal. These guys, there's these three factions, the foreign policy faction, the climate change faction, and then the social justice faction within the White House are all struggling. And there's no overarching agenda to make America better, in my view. And they are missing the reality that most Americans are feeling, this economic, absolute devastating economic impact of energy prices. And of course, the supply chain issues, and it's going to have huge ramifications. And I don't think they understand it because there is no overall collective leadership that understands this. I think Biden is absolutely incompetent, incapable of making decisions. I think Kamala Harris and the vice presidential staff, they're all the turnover there. They're incompetent. They don't know what's going on. I think Ron Klain, the chief of staff, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, and the people like Susan Powell, who's behind the scenes, and Susan Rice, who's behind the scenes, the Obama National Security Advisor, who's the political advisor to the Biden regime, you know, more on the social justice and let's achieve our goals. I think they really have no control right now, and they don't know what the heck to do, and they can't. They'll lose each of their constituencies, and they know if they lose those constituencies, they lose elections, right. But they can't clean it out. I think they're very well too far down the road to fix
right.
it.
Jimmy, you made a comment that I don't understand. I'd like you to explain it to myself and some of my listeners also, our listeners also, and that is that you said that the United States created a situation in Ukraine. I don't see how that's possible.
No, what I'm saying, I didn't say they created it. I said this administration created the problems that came out of it. They could have acted early on in Ukraine before the Russians invaded. When the Russians, and we've talked about it numerous times in the past recordings, had they done a coordinated effort with the European Union, with NATO senior military leaders, and put tremendous pressure back in October, November of last year, when they saw the buildup and they understood the potential of an invasion, and they actually, we know they knew that it was coming because they evacuated the embassy in February. They withdrew family members in January. So they saw it coming. They did warn people, but no one wanted it to happen. But this administration did not put together any type of coordinated effort in order to stop it.
Good point.
And the reason why they couldn't do that, and this is very, very important for many of the listeners to understand, because they had no credibility after the withdrawal just a month or two before from Afghanistan.
Right.
It was absolute a debacle. And they left all their NATO allies hanging. No one trusted the Biden administration after the pullout of Afghanistan, because British, all our NATO members, all the other partners that were in Afghanistan, their people were left stranded. The people that they had worked with, the nonprofits, the NGOs, the school teachers, those people were left hanging in Afghanistan by the Biden withdrawal, the absolute incompetent withdrawal.
Right.
So they were incapable. This administration was incapable of putting together the right type of organization to stop and intimidate Putin early on.
Right.
This was directly the result of incompetence from past policy decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Ukraine was.
Yeah. Jim, I want to cut it right here. We're up to almost 12 minutes. People's attention span is not really that good on radio anymore. So I'd like to cut these at 11. You made some really good points regarding all the situations you talked about. And I think if I were to leave anybody with anything from this particular, I would say it's the economy stupid, but you people aren't stupid. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, you bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.